This is Senator Al Simpson. Drug companies now want to duck the new rules requiring Medicaid to get the same discount for medicine that other programs get. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, for years, the big buyers of prescription drugs, including federal agencies, also get the big price discounts. The VA alone spends $700 million on drugs, and the savings total a pretty penny. To make sure that Medicaid gets a break, too, Congress last year passed a new law requiring companies to offer bulk rate discount. Now, some drug companies want to squirm past the new law by raising prices and renegotiating contracts. Come on, Ted. You're the Senate chairman of a committee charged with guarding against this kind of abuse. Instead of playing into the hands and the pockets of the special interests, remember Medicaid is the only health program for the very poor, and any savings we strike belong to the taxpayers. No talk. Fight for them. For once.
Al, you're off base on one point. Congressional jurisdiction over that abuse belongs in another Senate committee, not mine. Mistakes like that make me wonder how much attention you pay to the Senate, Al. Come to work more often. Get to know the place. Find out how it works. But you're right on target about that drug company abuse. For years, prescription drug manufacturers have given big discounts to big private customers and some public agencies. Under the leadership of Senator David Pryor of Arkansas, Congress now requires the same discount to be made available to Medicaid. That's the federal-state program which pays billions of dollars a year in prescription drug costs for the needy. But instead of lowering prices for Medicaid, the drug companies are pulling a fast one. They've started raising prices and denying discounts to other big buyers. Those pharmaceutical manufacturers better shape up, Al. Congress won't take that slap in the face lying down. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on CNN and Peter Arnett. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Ted Kennedy. What in the world got into Senator Al Simpson on Peter Arnett? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, that was a red-hot lunch you had on Capitol Hill with reporters the other day. Obviously, the food or company disagreed with you. Suddenly, old 6'7" Al Simpson stuck both feet in his mouth at the same time. You bit down hard, and out came Peter Arnett. You cut him up three ways, Al. None of them fair, none of them true, all of them outrageous. You attacked his Vietnam reporting that won him the Pulitzer Prize. You attacked his Vietnamese wife's family. You even called him a sympathizer with Saddam Hussein. That took real gall, Al, after all the sympathizing you yourself did with Saddam on your notorious junket to Iraq last spring. Even Bob Dole disagreed with you on this one, Al. He said Peter Arnett is doing the best he can under the circumstances. So is CNN, Al. You owe them both an apology.
Ted, when Saddam Hussein booted every American reporter out of Baghdad, why was Peter Arnett, the chosen one, allowed to stay? CNN got the invite because Saddam knew they wouldn't rock the boat, and they sure haven't. And as for my visit, did you honestly think the official Iraqi transcript would report our tough words to Hussein? It's so ironic that the U.S. military puts lives at risk knocking out Saddam's communication in one fell swoop, and then CNN marches in with its suitcase satellite dish and puts him back on the air. Ever since Saddam has had a source for his propaganda, he will even allow women and children to sleep in a bunker he knows will be bombed out, just so he can trot out the sheep in the news media the next day for a photo opportunity. That's really sick. But I'll tell you, Ted, the media, by allowing itself to be used for propaganda purposes, must share some level of responsibility for the repulsive criminal acts that Saddam is able to get away with. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The Bush administration has sent to Congress a pretty straightforward proposal to reform the nation's banking system. In a minute, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Democrats scratched their heads and blinked like a frog in a hailstorm 3 years ago when the Bush administration asked for crucial funds to investigate the sick savings and bank system. Democrats voted only a fraction of what the Attorney General asked for to prevent the drain disaster which resulted. Dems gave a whole new meaning to the old saw, a day late and a dollar short. Now, Ted, here's your chance to atone. Take some serious and swift action on the president's thoughtful plan to overhaul the nation's financial industry. Accounts could continue to be insured up to $100,000, but savers would only be able to have one main insured account per institution. Ted, stop always being penny wise and pound foolish and help us fix the banking crunch that you helped to dump on us.
Al, you call the president's proposal straightforward, That's one thing it's not. It's the size of a New York City telephone book. It recommends far-reaching changes in laws in place since the Great Depression. It would give controversial new powers to banks at a time of major banking turmoil and recession. That's how we got into the S&L mess, Al. You Republican ideologues said, give them carte blanche. Let's ensure nothing like that disaster happens to other banks. Changes in the law should meet several tests. Depositors must be protected. The banking system must be shored up by more effective regulation. Capital must be reasonably available to both individuals and businesses, especially small firms. We must guarantee fair competition in all financial services. The president's proposals deserve serious consideration, Al, but Congress can't just rubber stamp massive changes in banking laws. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Anti-Crime Summit. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration is holding a domestic summit conference on crime, but the problem of guns is not on the agenda. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Bush administration is holding a summit conference on violent crime starting on Sunday, but the subject of guns is not on the agenda. That's like talking about the economy, Al, without mentioning the deficit. Whoever planned that summit must have an IQ hovering around the freezing point, or else they're letting the National Rifle Association dictate the agenda. Admit it, Al, if we don't do something about the plague of guns overrunning our society, we're not serious about reducing violent crime. Two obvious reforms are already on Congress's agenda: a 7-day waiting period before handguns can be purchased, and a total ban on the sale of assault weapons. Those are good ideas. They should be on the summit agenda, too. Stand up to the NRA, Al. Give that crime summit a chance for success.
Ted, you can groan all you want to, but I happen to think that getting 300 of America's top experts together on crime, men and women who face this problem every day and night right there in the trenches, is one fine idea. No one expects they will solve all the problems that create violent crime, but it is a beginning and a great opportunity to exchange ideas. And besides talking about everything under the sun, from child abuse to managing prison populations, the Crime Summit has in fact scheduled a session on targeting the armed violent offender. This discussion will focus on gun control laws of the various states, as well as a new federal law designed to prevent felons from ever obtaining a firearm. So have your facts straight, Ted, before you shoot your errant missiles. The Crime Summit is an awfully good place for law enforcement officers to let us know their full range of concern. They're on our side. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to change the nation's sloppy campaign finance laws. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Senator Al Simpson, do our current campaign finance laws give incumbents an unfair advantage? Let's ask the old pro who's been a senator for 30 years. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, campaign finance reform once again tops our Republican agenda in Congress. Each year we seek reform, and each year you Democrats find a way to bury it. Last year you used the ridiculous idea of public financing for elections, just what the taxpayers want to hear and always do hear from you. Ted, let's place elections back in the hands of the people. Legislation introduced by our fine Republican leader Bob Dole bans PACs, limits personal funds, and restricts out-of-state contributions. It forces open and honest disclosure of all contributions. Ted, I know you Dems like to play by your own rules, but don't stack the cards against candidates with a fresh approach. But whatever you do, don't dredge up that goofy old idea of taxpayer financing of politicians.
Hogwash, Al. Dollar for dollar, public financing of election is the best investment any taxpayer can make to restore confidence in government. Let's clean up the mess before the system breaks down in one giant scandal. We already have public financing of elections, Al, but only for presidential races, and that makes no sense. It's the most important reform we adopted after the Watergate scandal. It ended abuses in presidential campaign financing, and it worked well ever since. You right-wingers don't dare repeal it. If you had a shred of consistency, Al, you'd support the same effective, worthwhile reform for Senate and House elections. But that's not your game. Instead of honest reform, you're trying to gerrymander the system to hamstring Democrats without even ruffling the fur of fat cat Republican special interest contributors. That sort of one-sided partisan sham won't wash, Al. To be creditable, campaign reform has to apply fairly to both sides. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration is attacking infant mortality the wrong way. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the administration gets high marks for its intention to do something about the shamefully high rate of infant mortality in the United States. For years, we've ranked far behind many other industrial nations. But the administration's plan is flawed. It targets only 10 cities when many more jurisdictions need help. Also, the administration wants to pay for its initiative by cutting funds from hard-pressed programs that other cities are now using to reduce their own infant mortality. Infant deaths are a tragedy affecting families throughout the country, Al. Targeting only 10 cities is inadequate when many places need help. It's also unfair and counterproductive to cut even further on the limited funds now being used to tackle the problem. A few cities move forward, but many others lose ground. Back to the drawing boards, Al. Let's get it right.
Ted, you should put the Bush administration's money where your words are. Come on, you're way off base on this one. Let's just toss out for a look the raw dollars the president has requested in his new budget for infant mortality. Bush proposes $139 million for specific infant mortality programs next year. That's $82 million more than this year, a huge jump. On top of that, the president wants $258 million for immunizations, $554 million for maternal child health programs, and $12 billion for Medicaid. And let's not forget the $2.5 billion for the women, infants, and children, the WIC program, and the other $6 billion for child nutrition plans for the older kids. And lastly, Ted, even with all the bucks we do invest in solving infant mortality, let's not lose sight of the real human truth that losing a single child is the tragedy we must all work to prevent. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Will federal regs which require higher fuel economy on cars really reduce America's dependence on foreign oil? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, in the 70s, OPEC held Americans and their gas tanks hostage to foreign oil. Congress reacted by forcing Detroit to build new cars with better fuel economy. Not only did it make for some good conservation and environmental common sense, but it also made for good business practice. But Ted, forcing of the MPG standards on American automakers did not lessen one whit our dependence on foreign oil. Look at the figures. The average fuel economy rose from 17 miles per gallon in the 70s to 27 miles per gallon today. Yet during that same period, our dependence on foreign oil also jumped to record highs, over 50%. Ted, fuel economy is a good thing. But heavens, don't use it for your tired old argument to force more regs on American business.
Al, your Neanderthal objection against increased gasoline mileage for cars makes no sense. You don't raise the usual auto industry's arguments that more miles per gallon will make cars too small for families and unsafe on highways. The argument you do make is flat wrong. Higher mileage does save gas. Because of improved fuel efficiency, today's cars use only half as much gasoline as in the 1970s. That dramatic improvement saves 2.5 million barrels of oil a day, with no problems for car comfort or safety. Senator Dick Bryan of Nevada is leading the effort to increase the mileage requirement and save even more. We need a sensible energy policy to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. Stop shedding all those crocodile Cadillac tears about the need for new gas guzzlers, Al. Start asking car manufacturers to do their fair share for our energy goals. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on helping Persian Gulf veterans. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. America must do better for its Persian Gulf veterans than for those who return from Vietnam. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Persian Gulf has been the first major conflict by the all-voluntary force. It's also the first call-up of reserves in 30 years, since the Berlin Crisis in 1961. We've got a high-tech 21st century fighting force, but an outdated, inadequate support system for families and dependents. Let's ease their burden as much as we can. The courageous men and women serving in the Gulf should not have to worry about what's happening to their loved ones on the home front. No military dependents should be forced into poverty. They deserve help on things like health care, child care, and other benefits. And we must also guarantee that reservists get their civilian jobs back when they begin coming home. The nation failed its Vietnam veterans, Al. Let's not repeat that mistake for veterans from the Persian Gulf.
Ted, I'm so darn proud of American forces serving in the Persian Gulf I could just bust. They have shown our nation and the world just how America will lay it on the line to achieve peace and stability in the Middle East. You weren't there with us on that tough 52-47 vote. The clear direction George Bush took our nation during this conflict will heal the remaining wounds of Vietnam. As for taking care of our vets, we will and always have. $32 billion this year alone. Who's going to turn their back on the brave men and women or their families who serve so valiantly in the Gulf? Operation Desert Storm proved our all-volunteer force works. It proved the need for research and development and how awesome technology can save thousands of American lives. And most of all, it proved that America can pull together, face down a terrible enemy, and win, really win. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the fact that drug abuse is not just a minority problem. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. When it comes to use of drugs, all young people, rich or poor, of every race and culture, are fair game for addiction. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, you have often been the self-appointed cheerleader for the masses. But really now, don't you think it's high time to drop the social stereotypes which link minorities to drug abuse? That's way off track. According to a report by the University of Michigan, which studied 70,000 high school students, white students are nearly twice as likely to use drugs than minority kids of the same age. Ted, drug abuse is a dead serious problem, especially when young people get sucked up into the vicious circle of addiction. But don't keep saying this is a minority problem. That creates a very unnecessary and undeserved stigma that just isn't true. Instead of continually calling out for federal funding that only helps one group in society, let's make certain any kid who needs help gets it.
Al, no one seriously involved in waging the war on drugs regards it as a problem confined to any minority or racial group. The drug pushers and organized crime take their illegal profits where they can. Your other comments about helping young people, though, are right on, Al. If only you'd back up your rhetoric on face-off with your votes in Congress. Our current anti-drug strategy is failing because you and the administration insist on waging a lopsided war. The three P's of law enforcement, police, prosecutors, and prisons can't do the job alone. We need equal emphasis on two other strategies: education, to stop young Americans from using drugs, and treatment, to help drug abusers break their addiction. We won the Persian Gulf victory by a coordinated air, land, and sea campaign. We'll lose the war on drugs, Al, unless we use a coordinated strategy of law enforcement, education, and treatment. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Union-busting tactics by big businesses are upsetting half a century of labor peace. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a major challenge facing Congress is to stop management's unfair practice of hiring permanent replacements for workers on strike. For half a century, a reasonable balance existed under the labor laws. Businesses could hire temporary replacements to survive in a strike, but once the strike ended, workers got their jobs back. But in the 1981 air traffic controller strike, the Reagan administration changed things for the worse. The FAA was ordered to hire permanent replacements. Later, Frank Lorenzo turned that harsh practice into a way of life. The Greyhound and New York Daily News strikes have brought the problem to a head. In both cases, the use of permanent replacements has prolonged strikes which could have ended through traditional collective bargaining. Condemn this unfair new management tactic, Al. Whose side are you on, business or workers?
I'm on the side of real people, Ted. People who want to go to work without being spit on or pushed around by violent thugs. And in the case of the strikes you use for examples, especially the Greyhound strike, the unions made their points at the end of a gun. Ted, you're always the first one to blast away at the National Rifle Association or anyone who lawfully wants to own a gun, so I am dumbfounded that you would support unions and strikes which condone getting innocent people shot. That's union terrorism. Ted, all workers should have the right to sit down with their boss and talk about their problems and work things out. But no worker has a right to destroy or bankrupt a company simply because they don't get the contract they want. Ted, you're pretty good at giving me the business, but get off your support of selfish and violent aims that put people out of work or in the hospital. Nuts to that. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Do American colleges fail our children by not teaching them about the common bond of cultural values that made this nation great? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, some of your liberal left-wing university cronies believe multiculturalism should replace classes in Western civilization. They want to teach our youth that American culture really belongs only to those who are white and European. What elitist balderdash. What made this country great were the principles on which it was founded, a belief in God, economic prosperity, and a democratic political process. Those principles had their roots in ancient lands, not Plymouth Rock, and immigrants from every corner of the earth come to our country to live them. So tell your thoughty professor buddies to get smart. Other cultures surely should be taught in college, but they aren't going to replace what we have right here at home, America.
Al, your know-nothing reflex is twitching again. The debate over the academic curriculum has been raging for years in schools and colleges. Our system of education is increasingly troubled. Every day, millions of students across the country sit through classes that seem irrelevant to their daily lives. No one's throwing the classics of Western European civilization overboard, but it makes sense to offer instruction about the impressive contributions that other cultures have made to America, too. Blacks, whites, Hispanics, Asians, and Native Americans are all part of our diverse heritage. You can't make every student in America wear a size 10 shoe in education. Obviously, there are pitfalls. If multicultural education becomes an excuse for ethnic propaganda, everyone loses. But everyone gains if black history, women's studies, and other disciplines are taught with honest scholarship. If you can't agree with that, Al, you need to go back to school yourself. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. After the Persian Gulf victory, there's unfinished business here at home. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, all Americans share a sense of pride over our victory in the Persian Gulf and a sense of relief that our casualties were so low. I commend President Bush for his leadership and all the courageous men and women who risked their lives for our country. The unprecedented international alliance against Saddam Hussein offers hope for lasting peace in the Middle East. But achieving that goal will require an international effort comparable to our historic military effort. As the clouds of war lift in the Middle East, it is also time to address our unmet needs here at home with a greater sense of urgency, especially on major challenges like the recession, health care, education, the needs of children, and the development at long last of a sensible energy policy for the nation. America won't stay strong abroad, Al, unless we get stronger at home, too.
Ted, that's really tacky. In the glow of George Bush's stunning victory against the brutal forces of Hussein, all Americans should stand together and reflect on just what our nation has achieved and the sacrifices made to win the goal. I wish you'd swallow that crude partisanship and at least give him a little credit. Sure, you chirp his praises now, but don't forget your vote against him on the close 52-47 vote to authorize force. He needed you then, Ted, and he needs your help now on tough issues like civil rights, crime, and the budget deficit. But down deep, you only hope he falls flat on his can for no other reason but to make the Democrats look good. Ted, why not just this once when the whole country is united? Forget that people are Republican or Democrat. Put the Massachusetts-style politics aside. Let's join together to use the strong momentum of America's victory in the Gulf to meet the challenges before us to build a renewed and better country. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on whether or not he still thinks sanctions against Iraq could have been the way to go. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Before the January UN deadline for Iraq to get out of Kuwait, Ted Kennedy said we should stick with sanctions. Let's see if he still feels that way when we face off in just a moment. Ted, the war has been fought and won with honor and pride. Tens of thousands of Kuwait citizens brutally held captive by Saddam Hussein are once again free. During Congress's debate to authorize force as necessary, you supported keeping economic sanctions in place. You said here on Face Off that U.S. casualties could be, and I quote, massive, tens of thousands. President Bush is too macho and impatient to let sanctions work, unquote. Those were pretty heavy words, Ted. If you Democrats were in charge, we'd still be sitting on our rumps off the border of Kuwait probably for years, waiting for sanctions to work while the people of Kuwait were tortured and brutalized off the face of the earth by Saddam. And you still think sanctions were the way to go? Wow.
Al, you're hardly the one to talk. I'm surprised you even dare bring up the past. You yourself took that notorious junket to Iraq last spring. You snuggled up to Saddam in a high-level meeting. He had you eating out of his hand. You told him his biggest difficulty was a PR problem, his poor relations with the Western media. Imagine the message that sent Saddam. You came back to the Senate aisle and kept acting like the voice of Iraq. Only a week before the invasion of Kuwait, there was old Gullible Al voting no on tough U.S. trade sanctions against Saddam's regime. All of us are relieved that the war is over, that our forces performed courageously and well, and that our casualties were so low. One thing's clear, though. We'll never know for sure if sanctions might have worked. The country was deeply divided about going to war prematurely, Al, and so was the Congress. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next with a St. Patrick's Day message. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. Will Senator Al Simpson show a little green in a moment? We'll face off. Al, Sunday is St. Patrick's Day. All that blarney you peddle the rest of the year finally comes home to roost. According to the Census Bureau, 40 million Americans are of Irish descent. Search far enough, Al. I'm sure you'll find a few shamrocks in the Simpson family tree. I don't know whether your taste runs more to Sinead O'Connor and U2 or to Danny Boy and Molly Malone. But one thing is clear. Generations of Americans have been enriched by Ireland. 19th century Irish immigrants transformed America, Al. They dug the canals in the east and built the railroads to the west. Under every railroad tie, it said, an Irishman is buried. Those Irish immigrants had to push hard against prejudice, but they blazed trails of opportunity followed by many other ethnic groups. You don't have to be Irish to be for civil rights, Al, but it helps.
Talk about your blarney, Teddy, my boy. You've kissed that stone so often your head's turned to rock. You don't have to be Irish to be against prejudice. We all are, and there are lots of Irish sprinkled through the branches of the Simpson family tree. And on this special day, when everybody becomes Irish, we all think momentarily of changing our name for a little Irish luck, old Alan O'Simpson. And, Ted, I'm glad you reminded me about Sunday being St. Paddy's Day. I thought it was just you Democrats turning green with envy over George Bush's clean win in the Middle East. I should have known better, begorra. But since it's the great Irish holiday, maybe a tiny bit of that leprechaun luck might rub off on me, then maybe you would agree with me a mite more often right here on Face Off. Or would that be stretching the luck of the Irish a wee bit too far? It's your day, Teddy. A fine broth of a boy like you will celebrate it well. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual. This is Senator Al Simpson. Democrats refuse to join a bipartisan commission to study the effect of a capital gains tax on America's economy. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, during the State of the Union, President Bush put the capital gains tax cut issue right on the line. Once and for all, a panel of economic experts, Democrats and Republicans, would sit down, study, work, and decide whether cutting the rate would be good or bad for the economy. The president directed the panel to avoid a return to unproductive partisan bickering and let the facts speak for themselves. But rather than grabbing the olive branch, the Democrats clutched for the throat. Ted, what are you Democrats afraid of? Have you finally opened your dulled eyes and seen that cutting the capital gains rate is better for the middle class than it is for the rich? Can't you finally admit that jump-starting the economy would be good for the poor? Ted, the president is very willing to take this chance. Why don't you ever take a risk?
Al, Republican fat cats and wealthy citizens across the country may be salivating over a tax cut for capital gains, but it's grossly unfair to everyone else, and it's farther than ever from happening. President Bush spent much of 1990 touting the idea, to no avail. Now he wants to study it. Come on, Al. It's been studied to death. The more you explain it, the worse it gets. It's the old discredited trickle-down economics. based on the idea that if government cuts taxes for the rich will take care of everyone else. You could sell the Brooklyn Bridge more easily than that, Al. No issue better demonstrates that Republicans are the party of the rich. 83% of the capital gains tax cut goes to people making over $100,000 a year. If we're going to cut taxes, Al, let's do it fairly and benefit average citizens, not just the wealthy. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on an administration budget plan that pits mayors against governors. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration wants to turn over billions of dollars in existing federal programs to the states. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the Bush administration's budget contains an interesting but controversial proposal to take $15 billion in current federal programs and turn them over to the states for 5 years. The idea behind the so-called block grant approach is to put federal programs closer to the people by giving the states more flexibility and control. Not a bad idea in theory, Al. Most governors are salivating over the proposal, but someone in the administration forgot to think the plan through. Some programs the administration would turn over to the governors are ones that give federal aid directly to cities, not states. Mayors are outraged. The administration's blunder has stirred up an unnecessary hornet's nest between local and state governments. The administration should put General Schwarzkopf in charge of the budget, Al. They'd have a better chance of getting it right.
Ted, you got to stop tying your shoes in the morning with red tape. Giving block grants directly to the states for distribution to the local communities eliminates the middleman and the need for more bureaucracy. But I can see why a suspicious old Democrat senator like yourself might worry about Massachusetts' new Republican governor. Relax, he won't bite. State officials certainly understand the needs and wants of local communities and their borders better than Congress does. Local mayors are in closer communication with governors as well as their state legislators. Ted, this is no blunder, no trick, no ploy. It's a well-thought-out, innovative idea. You just don't like it because you didn't think it up. Too creative for you. And you're all upset because putting this funding in the hands of the states, right where it belongs, cuts in half all your pet programs that you love to have direct power over out there on the Senate floor. Turf fight? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.